Today, violence erupts at UCLA as dozens of pro-Palestinian protesters are arrested at Columbia. It's Fed Day, and markets are on tenterhooks over what Chair Jerome Powell has to say. Marijuana use is set to become a less serious crime in the US. And eggs, not chickens, now come first for some US farmers. It's Wednesday, May 1st. This is Reuters World News, bringing you everything you need to know from the front lines in 10 minutes, every weekday. I'm Carmel Crimmins in Dublin. Violence has broken out at a pro-Palestinian encampment at UCLA. Television footage shows clashes breaking out between pro-Palestinian and pro-Israeli supporters. College authorities have called in the police to help secure the campus. On the East Coast, police are also on site at Columbia University in New York.
This is the New York City Police Department. You have been warned as per City College to leave the campus. If you refuse to leave, you may be placed under arrest.
Officers in riot gear arrested over 100 pro-Palestinian protesters and cleared the campus building that demonstrators had taken over to protest Israel's war in Gaza. To keep up to date on those US campus protests, check out updates on Reuters.com. A judge has fined Donald Trump for violating a gag order and threatened him with prison if he continues to ignore it. Judge Juan Merchan, who's overseeing Trump's New York hush money trial, fined the former president $9,000. It's $1,000 for each of 9 online statements Trump made criticizing witnesses and others involved in the case. A majority of Americans believe that China uses TikTok to shape US public opinion, and half support banning the video app. That's according to a Reuters Ipsos poll. TikTok told Congress last year that it did not promote or remove content at the request of the Chinese government.
This is indeed a national crisis, and it's a national challenge.
Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese vowing to tackle violence against women. The government says it will spend $600 million to help people leave abusive relationships. Thousands took to the streets at the weekend to protest violence against women, with one woman killed every 4 days so far this year. The billionaire founder of cryptocurrency exchange Binance has been sentenced to 4 months in prison. Changpeng Zhao had pled guilty to violating US money laundering laws. The Federal Reserve wraps up its 2-day meeting today with all ears trained on what Chair Jerome Powell has to say on the interest rate outlook. Howard Schneider will be covering every word for us. Howard, what are investors looking for?
Well, look, this is a really interesting point in time for the Fed because, look, everybody knows what they're going to do. They're not going to raise interest rates. They've been communicating that. Markets are priced against it. Nothing's going to happen on that front. But the data the last 3 months have been really frustrating for them. Inflation's taken a little bit of a tick upwards. You got data showing that wages are still increasing at a level that's probably not going to make them think inflation's going down. So things they've expected to come under control just haven't yet. Now, that doesn't mean they won't. It doesn't mean they're going to come out and say, you know, rate cuts are off, forget about it. But they are going to absorb all this information and give us some sort of update about whether this has really thrown them off course and to what degree.
Is there a possibility we won't get a rate cut this year?
Well, look, if you take the market pricing, the Fed funds futures contracts, they've gone from a dead certain high initial cut in March at 100 basis points of cuts this year to last time I checked before I left, the probability of no cuts at all this year had gone from about 0 early in April to almost 1 in 4. So the pricing's moving backwards pretty steadily.
So you've always been our Fed expert, but can I ask you to put your global hat on for our listeners? What does this mean for the rest of the world if the Fed keeps holding off on rate cuts?
This is already starting to cause attention. When Fed's interest rates stay higher than people expect, when other economies are getting ready to cut rates, for example, and that extends across Europe and a lot of developing markets as well, that starts to export U.S. inflation because the dollar is expensive. A lot of goods trade in dollars. That means those dollars are more expensive. It means the goods are more expensive. So, yeah, that has the potential to put a lot of pressure on markets globally, depreciate currencies against the dollar really worldwide. So a lot of people are going to be watching for any hint from Jay Powell about how much longer this situation may continue in the U.S.
The Justice Department is moving to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug. It's a historic shift in America's drug policy under the Biden administration. Jeff Mason covers the White House. Jeff, what does this move by the Justice Department actually mean? Can Americans now take weed gummies on airplanes?
Well, what this means in reality is it's one step closer to marijuana at the federal level not being such a serious crime. It sounds a little bit wonky, but right now marijuana is a Schedule 1 drug, and the Department of Justice is recommending that it be moved to a Schedule 3 drug. And that puts it in the same category as ketamine or Tylenol with codeine, instead of in a category with cocaine, for example, or LSD. It does not, however, make it legal. It just would make it less bad if you were caught and prosecuted at a federal level with marijuana.
How much does this simplify pot rules from state to state, and who are the big winners from that?
It is certainly following states that have made marijuana legal. And that's potentially one of the reasons they're doing it, because of the complications of the fact that roughly 40 states allow marijuana use on some level. So it will make that less complicated. It will also allow the industry to perhaps really take off in terms of having more access to banking and not having to rely on cash, which makes them vulnerable to crime.
How much is this about the fact that the U.S. is in an election year?
We are absolutely in an election year, and President Biden did promise as a candidate the last time around to take a look at marijuana. So yes, this will no doubt be greeted happily by younger and left-leaning voters, some of whom are also struggling right now with whether or not to support him again, in part because of concerns over his policy on Israel and the war in Gaza.
It's the age-old riddle, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? I have no idea, but some former Tyson Foods chicken farmers are now banking on eggs. Tom Polansek has the story. Tom, tell us about this shift in strategy by farmers.
Tyson closed 6 chicken plants across the U.S., and that left farmers with poultry barns looking for new opportunities. They were no longer raising chickens for meat to send to the Tyson plants. And in some places, the next job for them is going to be raising hens to produce eggs. They already have the barns available, but it's an entirely different line of work to collect eggs rather than to raise the birds for meat.
What are the risks here? There's been a lot of talk of avian flu recently. Is that an issue?
Yes. Avian flu has flared up in the U.S. for the 3rd year in a row now. It hits egg-laying hens harder than it hits chickens that are raised for meat. So far this year in the U.S., we've already seen almost 10 million egg-laying hens and hens that will become egg-laying hens wiped out by the avian flu.
So what's the payoff? What's the difference in terms of bottom line when it comes to eggs versus chickens?
Cal-Maine, which is the biggest egg company in the world, bought one of the plants, the chicken plants that Tyson closed last year. Cal-Maine is recruiting some of Tyson's former farmers to produce eggs instead. And Cal-Maine says that it will pay as much or more to the farmers than they earned under Tyson.
The 2024 Euros Championship kicks off in Germany in June. It's not a destination you think needs an official British government warning. But the Foreign Office has a message for British fans heading to the soccer tournament. Beer can be stronger than in the UK, so drink responsibly.
I mean, I think it's pretty strong, the German beer, but you've still got a few percentage like craft ones in London. But it's larger. Steins are obviously larger, aren't they? So got to go drink responsibly, as they say.
One soccer supporter, beer in hand, taking that advice under consideration at a Champions League game in Germany last month. German Steinglasses are twice the size of a British pint, and average beer strength in Germany is between 4.7 and 5.4%. That compares to around 4.4% for British beer. That's it for Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow with our daily headline show. To make sure you never miss an episode, remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast player or download the Reuters app.